Welcome to the Payments Podcast, where we talk to innovators about how they're reinventing, reimagining, and recreating the payments ecosystem.
Karen Webster for payments.com, and I'm here today with Bill Reedy, who is the CEO of Braintree. Hi, Bill. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Karen. Great to be with you today.
Okay, so we've now all seen and know at least a little bit about Apple's plans for mobile payments. That's Apple Pay. And during the launch, we saw lots of logos flashing on the screen, but PayPal wasn't one of them. Why not?
Well, you know, we work with a lot of the players that were listed there. So, you know, Braintree will support Apple Pay from day one. So something that we certainly are supportive of. You know, I think it's something that lots of folks have commented that, you know, Apple's brought together, you know, a number of players in a short period of time, but there's things to be solved for around that. So, you know, certainly something that we're supportive of, and we've already announced our support that we'll process Apple Pay transactions. Given that it's running on the Visa tokenization or the EMV code tokenization standard, that's something that we've been very close to for quite some time. So we're fully prepared to handle those, and you saw several of the partners of ours that run on Braintree that will be included in that.
So I was going to ask you about tokenization in a little bit, but since you brought it up, let's talk about that now. That's really been the core of the Braintree offer for quite some time, and you guys were really way out in front on this particular topic. How does what the networks are doing impact what Braintree does today?
So we really look at it as sort of tokenization generally. As you mentioned, like, we've been huge proponents of tokenization for a long time. So I think seeing the networks now embrace tokenization, I think, is a positive thing. You know, I think, you know, one of the questions to still be answered is, you know, how will that work for non-card transactions, things like that? I think that's a place where, you know, what we do with tokenization, where we're working across not just card payments, but alternative payment methods. We announced Bitcoin recently. So I think, you know, we have a broader view of what tokenization can mean. But, you know, we think certainly it's a positive move for the industry to see, you know, the networks now embracing tokenization.
And you mentioned that you support the network standard. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. What's your overall impression of Apple Pay?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, an interesting take on how to enter the space. I think, you know, my quick assessment of Apple Pay is that, you know, I think they were thoughtful in going after specifically sort of the card, you know, the plastic form factor of the card, but not really encroaching on the rest of the ecosystem and really looking to existing players in the ecosystem to do the things they do today. So I think that's a little bit different than what other players, that have tried to enter the wallet space and not done so, you know, successfully. I think that's where, you know, a lot of them had more difficulties, versus Apple saying, you know, we're going to, you know, very specifically target the sort of the plastic form factor, but, you know, we're going to let the people that handle the transactions do those things. You know, I think that's a, you know, an intelligent way to go, because as you certainly know, a lot of why, you know, players that have tried to enter the space have had trouble is that payments is really, really difficult, right? As you start to get into, you know, a lot of other aspects of, you know, how do you handle merchant services and fraud protection and all these kinds of things. You know, those are difficult. And so I think good to see them looking to the rest of the ecosystem to do those things. And so I think that's why it's easy for us as a participant in the ecosystem to say, well, hey, we're happy to support that, given that, you know, we'll be able to process those transactions and deliver, you know, the things that we would to our merchants otherwise. I think the fact that they're taking just that piece of sort of the form factor and not dealing with sort of the rest of the ecosystem, I think leaves some open questions, right? So I think some of the things that haven't been answered yet are, you know, what will happen in the case of, you know, fraud, you know, so if there are chargebacks, things like that, who's liable for those? Is that going to fall to the merchant or somebody else? I think those are open questions that, that remain to be answered. But I think good to see, you know, them working with the rest of the ecosystem. And like I said, we've announced our support, you know, and I think in that regard, positive.
I think, you know, the thing that I observed, I mean, there was a lot to take in, was their approach to the in-store point of sale is, you know, certainly using a technology standard that the existing ecosystem around payments is very much an advocate of, but a very different approach than what PayPal, for example, has been working to deploy in-store over the last couple of years. How do you think merchants are going to view now the alternatives that they have in front of them as they contemplate what to accept and reasons to make those decisions? How do you think merchants are going to look at this now?
Well, I think really from the merchant perspective, the question is going to be asked. I think merchants probably care less about NFC versus, you know, Bluetooth beacons or things like that. I think there are, you know, sort of technological reasons why, you know, one may be, you know, advantageous over the other in certain situations. I think the merchants are going to care about, you know, other things which are going to be more around, you know, okay, does this make it really easier for my consumer to pay me? You know, how much easier is it for the consumer than a swipe transaction? Is it more secure than that swipe transaction? Who's taking on the, you know, the risk and the fraud protection and those kinds of things? I think those are the big questions that merchants have around what's happening with in-store payments. You know, sort of chip and pin, there's a whole question of liability shift and those things. And I think for this, it'll be a question for merchants of, yeah, who's on the hook for, you know, for fraudulent transactions? You know, who's helping me connect with my consumer? You know, Apple is very pointed about they specifically won't know where a person's buying, what they're buying, how much they're paying, those kinds of things. And they talk about from a privacy perspective, but from a merchant perspective, oftentimes that's data that the merchant really, really, you know, wants to know. It's very valuable from a fraud protection perspective, from a customer engagement perspective, loyalty, all those kinds of things. So I think those are a lot of the questions that merchants will have. And I don't know that merchants, you know, I don't know that, you know, any merchant executive wakes up in the morning and says, boy, I've got to kill card swipes. I think they're much more interested in, you know, how do we make it easier and safer and more secure for our customers to buy and do it in a low cost, high quality way.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I think that's a really good point. There's obviously a lot of things we still don't know about some of the questions that you raised. But I mean, it strikes me that what Apple really tried to persuade everybody when we looked at their presentation about is how secure their solution really is. There's a, you know, the tokenized credential in the secure element in the phone, and then the additional tokenization with respect to transacting, and the networks are sort of stepping in and taking on that role on behalf of the issuer. So where do you think the vulnerabilities are?
Well, I think, you know, there's still, you know, lots to be seen, right? So it's just been announced and you know, it's not out in the wild just yet. So I think, you know, that remains to be seen. That said, you know, as you know, we've been, we put out the, you know, first in the industry one-touch payments, you know, a couple of years ago, and now I've done that across PayPal. And one of the things as we've assessed this is that as you think about security for these kinds of things, you know, much of that is around, you know, understanding the behavior of the consumer, being able to spot suspicious activity, and then interact with the consumer in a way that would be difficult for a fraudster to spoof, but that is still still seamless for a consumer in terms of their experience. I think one of the questions that is going to remain is, you know, regardless of sort of the secure element or those kinds of things, anybody that deals with sort of accounts deals with account takeover issues and those kinds of things. And so when that happens, even if it may have been stored, you know, in a secure way and it's a token that can be turned off, charges will still happen before it gets turned off. And so what happens for those charges and how is security handled to make sure that fraudulent charges didn't happen? I think those are still the open questions. And so, you know, yes, it's a step forward for the industry that instead of reissuing a new piece of plastic, you can reissue a token, but that'll be after, potentially after charges have happened on a, you know, an account that's been taken over or those kinds of things. And who's going to stand in for those charges? And that's a huge part of what merchants are going to care about. Is the merchant liable or is somebody else going to step in and cover the risk?
Right. So let's switch gears a little bit to what they announced with respect to the in-app aspect of Apple Pay. And the last time you and I chatted, we were talking a lot about what PayPal is doing in-app and the advantages that the PayPal option offered merchants and how excited merchants really were to have this capability inside their own app specifically. Tell me a little bit about how yesterday's announcement with Apple Pay may have changed your thinking, if at all, about where PayPal is headed in the in-app world.
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, didn't come as a surprise. In fact, we've been planning for this for quite some time. So, you know, when we connected before, we chatted about two things. One was the one-touch payments that we had built for, you know, all the, you know, being able to pay in single touch across all the apps on your device. But we also talked about our V0 SDK, which we said, you know, laid foundation so that we could seamlessly add other payment methods and other wallets. Because we thought there'd be more of those that were relevant. And so PayPal is the first of those. We've also done it with Venmo. We've now announced Bitcoin. We're excited to support Apple Pay as well. So we expected that there would be some proliferation of more of these kinds of payment methods. And so on the one hand, you know, we delivered the industry's first one-touch, you know, mobile payment solution, you know, over a year and a half ago. We're excited to see now that other players are embracing that because we really do think that's the right way to pay, particularly on a mobile device. We think there's unique things about the way that we're able to do it because we do sit on both the consumer and merchant side of the network. You know, we can solve for things like fraud and security in ways that I think are going to be difficult for players that don't sit on both sides of the network, that don't see the details of a transaction, that can't spot suspicious activity, or can't say to a merchant, I can guarantee these transactions. So I think we can, you know, we can do things uniquely because we do sit on both the consumer and the merchant side of the network. At the same time, you know, we're an open platform, and any way that consumers want to pay, we want to support. And so, you know, in the same way that we're happy to take any form of card payment, we'll do direct bank payments internationally. We'll support other payment methods. We're supporting Bitcoin. You know, we're an open platform, and if consumers choose that, you know, Apple Pay is something they want to use, then we're going to be happy to support it. And that's why we've announced that already. And we already created an SDK that makes it very easy for our customers to seamlessly add those payment options, literally sort of, you know, check a checkbox inside your Braintree control panel and you and a couple lines of code, and you're able to seamlessly add these different payment methods. So we've been architecting for this for a long time, because we expected there would be other payment methods and other wallets that would be relevant. Because while we provide, you know, our own consumer facing wallet, we also function through, you know, the entire rest of the payments ecosystem as both a payment method, a payment platform, all of these things. And so, while there may be some, you know, term you're certainly familiar with in payments of co-opetition, on sort of the very front end of what's the first button that you push. Everything behind that in terms of dealing with the transaction is exactly what we do today, whether it's, you know, the button that you push, you know, said PayPal or Venmo or Apple Pay.
So that's a question that I have, though, because Apple also announced its own API, and it really sounds a lot like what you just described. And so they, I think they want to be the button. You want to be the button. How does the merchant decide the button?
Well, I think, you know, historically merchants have had multiple, right? Very few merchants only take Visa, but not MasterCard or American Express, you know, or Discover. And so I think it's been the case for a while that merchants don't think about what's the one button or the one payment acceptance mark, but they think about what are the few that are relevant. And I think, you know, PayPal has certainly proven that it's one of the most relevant payment marks for a merchant. I think for somebody new coming in, really the question is, you know, how will a merchant think about a new payment mark versus the existing payment marks that they've already accepted for a long time? And I think the way a merchant will think about is a new payment mark relevant is, you know, those same questions of, you know, can it help me connect with my consumer in a better way? Can it help me get to, you know, easier, safer, more secure transactions in a way that doesn't cost me, you know, more money than what I have today, or that can, you know, deliver additional value? I think those are the questions that merchants will ask as to, do they want to have another button beyond what's already there? You know, but certainly PayPal's proven that it's a, you know, a very relevant button already. And, you know, what we were doing with One Touch makes it even easier to use, but clearly something that's had value for, you know, most of the merchants on the web and on mobile for quite some time.
So I agree with you that merchants will accept payment methods that are in their interest to accept. And obviously a big part of that is consumers wanting to use it. And so you obviously have an advantage in that you have consumers with PayPal accounts that have used PayPal to transact before. What are you thinking about in terms of getting more of those users engaged around PayPal? Because we also know that consumers don't like to switch around. They don't flop around a lot between payment methods once they're used to it and it works for them and adds value to their transaction. What are you thinking about in terms of locking more of those consumers down and adding more to your pile as Apple is just getting started and you've been at this for 15 years?
Yeah, so there's a, you know, when you think about, you know, why does a consumer choose to pay with PayPal? I think there's a number of reasons. The, you know, PayPal by every objective measure is, you know, the most widely used, most trusted digital wallet in the world. And the reason for that is that consumers know they can trust PayPal, that it's safe, that it's secure, payment information doesn't get shared, and that it's easy to pay. But then in addition to that, there's a lot of services that wrap around that, that give the consumer a complete interaction, that, you know, we provide consumer protection as well as merchant protection, right? That we're able to say, not only do we guarantee transactions for the merchant, but we'll do the same for the consumer, that we're letting them know they're very much protected with PayPal. You know, we're able to offer credit and these kinds of things that are value-added services. So, you know, yes, ease of use is a big part of it, but, you know, safety, security, a complete set of services for the consumer, letting them pay with whatever payment method they want, whether it's one of the cards in their wallet or their bank account or Bitcoin, or as you move internationally, the many, many international payment methods that PayPal supports. These are all things that make it so that, you know, the consumer has, you know, great freedom to pay in whatever way it is that they want, but they know they can do it, you know, safely, securely, and quite easily. So I think those are the things that make it relevant. And PayPal, the trusted payment mark, you know, not just for many, many consumers, but, you know, within a lot of these digital ecosystems, you know, PayPal is very much a trusted payment mark. You know, PayPal is a very common payment method within iTunes, within Google Play, for exactly that reason. That it's, you know, highly trusted amongst consumers as they're buying online for all the reasons I just described.
So let's talk a little bit about the other side, which is acceptance. And I think one of the things that surprised me a little bit yesterday was the fact that Apple Pay will be available to, at least in store, will be available to consumers that buy the new iPhone. And there are only, you know, estimates of 25 million of those phones sold in the U.S., and that is where Apple Pay is available, at least to start. So there are lots of consumers that have iPhones with apps, probably the PayPal app, I would imagine a lot of them do. So you have an advantage in that your available to a much broader community of consumers than those group of consumers that are in a position to buy the new iPhone. How are you going to exploit that opportunity?
Well, I don't think it's something we don't think about exploiting it. We just think about it as, we're effectively an open wallet today that we let consumers pay however they want to pay, wherever they want to pay, regardless of what kind of device they choose to use, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop or desktop, regardless of what operating system they choose to use. And so I think that's just one of the core value props that we've always had, is that, we give the consumer the freedom to pay however they want, wherever they want, in a safe, secure, easy way. So I think that's just already part of the core value prop, in a place where we're able to do some things different than others in the industry, both that, we're the only player that really operates at scale on both the consumer and merchant side of the network. We also do it in a cross-platform way, across, perhaps the widest variety of payment instruments of any digital wallet that's out there. So I think that's just part of our core value proposition, not something that we look to go exploit. It's just part of what we deliver. And again, I think why we end up as a trusted payment mark, across so many merchants, as well as across platform providers. Despite the fact that there's overlap between what we do and say what Google does on the Google Wallet front, Google added PayPal to Google Play because, again, payments has been rife with co-opetition for a long time. And so you can say, well, hey, what's the name on the button when you push it? That's sort of existed for a long time, right? That, like, when you buy songs in the within iTunes, you're pushing an iTunes button to buy that song, but PayPal is very often a payment method behind that button that you push. And so we're happy to function across all these different layers of the ecosystem where, yes, sometimes we're the button that you push, but we're also a payment method and a payment platform along with that.
Yeah, no, I exploit might have been the wrong choice of words. I guess the point that I was trying to make is that you have potentially an advantage, right? Because you have the ability to reach more of the Apple consumer ecosystem because your addressable market isn't limited to the people who have the new iPhone.
I think this cross-platform point, how many people have the iPhone point matters. The cross-platform point matters as well, though, because if you think about how many people have one device manufacturer exclusively across all of their devices, I'd say that's very few. Regardless of which device manufacturer you choose, you're saying that you won't find a large percentage of the population that have all their devices on one device manufacturer, on one operating system provider. So the cross-platform piece is important, and consumers do think about that. Hey, when I'm paying online, my laptop that runs on one operating system versus my tablet that runs on a different one versus my phone that runs on a different one, should I have different ways I pay across all of those? Or do I want to have, a trusted way to pay across them all? I think that's something that consumers will certainly think about.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. So final question. The market's been a little down on eBay since the Apple Pay announcement came out. And I guess my question for you is, why shouldn't the market be worried?
Well, I think for exactly some of the reasons I just described, that, I think, Apple Pay is certainly interesting, and because of that, we're going to support it. But I think the thing that people may not realize is that, Apple Pay is very much just the very front end of the transaction. Everything that happens behind that is going through the existing payments ecosystem. And I think we've shown for quite some time that PayPal, is clearly one of the most trusted providers across that payments ecosystem, largely because we're one of the only players that have a trusted relationship on the consumer side and the merchant side, deliver the experience end-to-end, wrapped with all the security and fraud protection, ease of use, all those things across the entire flow of the payment. That's something that nobody else really does. And, to see somebody take the very front end of that, but not delve into any of the rest of it, that has existed in our ecosystem for a long time. Again, if whether you're in iTunes or Google Play or, you know, buying credits in Facebook, you know, you're pressing one of their buttons to do that, but PayPal is a trusted payment method behind that. And so it's been a core part of our business for a long time. And so I think, you know, throughout the, as you know, Braintree's the fourth startup I've been involved with. They've all been fintech and payments. So across 15 years, as an outsider looking at PayPal for much of those 15 years, sort of every few years there's a new PayPal killer that comes along. And yet PayPal just continues to grow and grow and grow. And the reason is most of those PayPal killers were addressing a piece of what PayPal does, but none of them were addressing all of what PayPal does. And so I think this is, again, you know, on the very front end, I think, you know, yes, there's some co-opetition that's going to happen there, but the fact that it's not delving into any of the rest of the, you know, what happens with payment behind that, it's not being a, you know, it's not necessarily a payment method, it's not a payment platform or those kinds of things, means there's still plenty of room for both to play, and that's why we're happy to support it.
Do you think that this will accelerate the move to mobile in-store?
You know, I think you talked about distribution. I think, you know, the move to mobile in-store, you know, I think NFC for a long time has been a technology in search of a problem, that, you know, the card swipe hasn't really been broken. I don't talk to a lot of consumers or a lot of merchants that complain about the card swipe being really hard to do. In fact, it's one of the easiest things you'll probably ever do is swipe your card at point of sale. And so, you know, I think saying that, you know, now this will spark adoption, you know, I think certainly Apple is a major player that, you know, if anybody can shift an ecosystem, Apple certainly can. But I think the bigger issue is that I don't know that there's a major pain point for the consumer when they, you know, swipe their card at checkout. The other side of that problem, which, you know, you're certainly well aware of as well, you know, the 200,000 terminals that they talked about that accept NFC, that's about 2% of merchant acceptance locations in the U.S.
Right.
That, and so while that means that, you know, okay, you know, for any NFC provider, right, not just Apple, any NFC provider, you know, you say, oh, well, it can work at 200,000 locations. That means that it doesn't work at 98% of payment acceptance locations in the country. So to say that you're starting from a place of 98% of locations don't accept that, that's a tough place to start. And I think, you know, chip and pin and those kinds of things, you know, can help to move that forward. But I think, you know, what you really need for something to work in the payment space is that it needs to be 98% of the time it is accepted. And right now it's the opposite of that, that 98% of time NFC is not accepted. So I think there's still a long slog ahead to go change that in terms of merchant acceptance. But the bigger issue is it a pain point for the consumer, and does the consumer want to tap rather than swipe? I think it's still unclear what the consumer going to get in terms of value prop to tap instead of swipe. And, you know, we've certainly been working on in-store for a long time, and, you know, and we would candidly say that, you know, based on our own experience, it's difficult to change the in-store behavior, even with really good technology, great experiences. Consumers are quite happy swiping cards. And so, you know, I think it's going to be a much slower movement toward mobile in-store for that reason.
Yeah, no, I was surprised by the fact that it was really exclusively about payment. And I didn't expect that, to be honest. I thought that there'd be something more to provide the bigger incentive, because, you know, over the years, NFC has only ever addressed the payment issue and not the real value equation between the merchant and consumer. Now, I mean, obviously with the Beacon ecosystem that Apple has been, you know, igniting over the last year, the mashup of that plus payment is certainly very powerful, but you don't need an NFC necessarily for that to happen, as you guys have demonstrated.
Certainly, yeah. You know, that's part of why we've, you know, spent time working with Beacons and things like that as well. We think those are other interesting ways to engage. You know, I think the growth of e-commerce certainly is going to, you know, continue. I think more of what's going to happen in store, you know, may well be about sort of the, apps that you use or e-commerce transactions that you interact with happening in physical locations. You know,
yep.
So, Uber is a great example of that. Great partner of ours. You don't think about that as, replacing a card swipe, but it is, right? That's a physical world transaction, but it just happens in a place where there was a sort of real pain point to be solved versus, when I'm standing in line at the checkout, I didn't have a lot of pain swiping my card.
Yeah, so I do agree, and I think that's the, that's potentially the wild card. So the wild card is using an e-commerce-like experience, standing in a store, sort of circumventing all of the existing infrastructure and way that payment is done today. And I think, it's certainly exciting times in the mobile space, and any time a big player like an Apple gets into the market, it shakes things up and gives us all something to talk about. So
that's right. And I think that, and I think one of the positive things about this is if there is some catalyst here for, more e-commerce activity on the mobile device, things like that. I think, it is still the case that, total consumer spending happening in e-commerce is, depending on sort of which analyst report you look at, is something around sort of 10% of spending is e-commerce. So that's still growing hugely.
Yeah.
And then how much of that is mobile, very, very small percentage of that is mobile. So there's a huge, rising tide will lift many ships. We certainly think that, we're enabling, as much or more of that than any other player in the space. But, we're excited to see others enter, especially when they're entering in ways that they're embracing the existing ecosystem, which is why we've been willing to embrace them back.
Well, Bill, thanks very much for taking time out of what I know is an extraordinarily busy time for you and your team to provide your perspective on Apple Pay and PayPal and Braintree, and to refresh all of our minds on what you guys have accomplished and have been doing over the last 15 or so years. So thanks for taking the time.
Certainly enjoy doing it. Always happy to talk to one of the smartest people in payments. So always happy to chat with you, Karen.
Thanks a lot, Bill. I appreciate that.